Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Hi, my name is Ann McMillan. I am the master wealth builder, helping you to build a stronger and better life and business. And we are very excited to bring you another episode of hashtag My Investing Story. As volunteers with Better Investing, Ione McMillan and myself are co-hosts. We, every single Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we come together with another story of individuals and sometimes groups of individuals sharing their investing story. But let's talk a little bit about who we are not. We're not financial advisors. We're not stockbrokers. We're not day traders. We're simply volunteers with Better Investing, teaching investment education. And Better Investing, for those of you that may remember, 501c3, not-for-profit organization, formerly known as the National Association of Investors. And it is a not-for-profit that has helped more than 5 million, yes, 5 million individuals from all walks of life learn how to improve, I want to say, our financial condition and our financial future. We as volunteers provide unbiased investment education, yes, education, and powerful online stock analysis tools. Now, with that thought in mind, let us introduce to you our special guest tonight is an investment club. Yes, it's another investment club. And the Living Room Learning Investment Club is a group of individuals from various backgrounds, from attorneys to doctors, administrators, bankers, entrepreneurs, retirees, and teachers. Just to start, cannot imagine being in an investment club with 40-plus individuals, whether you're an individual investor or whether you're currently an investment club yourself, in the club yourself. So with that thought in mind, let me introduce my co-host and my boss, Ione McMillan. Good evening, Ione. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm excited about today's program. That's awesome.
So let's do a quick introduction of the two representatives we have from the Living Room Investment Club.
Okay. My name is Vincent Smith. I am the president of the club, and I would like to thank you all for inviting us to be on here and share our story.
My name is Eric Smith. I'm a brand new member of the club, but yet I'm a legacy of one of the founders, or two of the founders. So I'm just glad to be here, blessing to be here, and to meet everybody and be a part of this podcast this evening.
So the beautiful thing, and I have to ask this question: both of your last names are Smith. Are you related, in fact?
No, we're not.
Not at all.
Okay.
Smith and Smith.
Okay. Yeah. Well, one of the first questions I have, because again, we're with Living Room Learning, also known as LRL Investment Club, Living Room Learning Investment Club. Could you talk to us a little bit about when it was founded and how you came up with that name?
Well, Eric may be better to speak on that than I am, because it was, I think they started late 60s, around that time, and with his parents and some of the other legacy members we have in the group, Tom Hamilton and his family. But I think, Eric, you can jump in.
Okay.
Go ahead.
This investment club is the offshoot of a social organization called the Couples Club, where a group of couples throughout the Cleveland area just got together for all kinds of different events. And the events could be anything from a cruise, from going to a resort and hanging out at the resort, to teaming up to do debutante balls and what have you. Many of the women in the organization are Deltas, so anything the Deltas were doing, the fellas obviously came with them because they knew better. And and so of the activities, this ultimately turned into a conversation that I guess mom, dad, Tom Hamilton, Darren, and Tom and Barbara Hamilton, Jerry and Charles Dockery, and some of the other founders got together and said, listen, you know, we at the very least can stand one another. So that's definitely one another. So why don't we move forward and pull together this investment club? Tom Hamilton had worked in that space, you know, banking at a very high level all the time that I've known him. And so as I can kind of even assume, he did a lot of the spearheading of the club and reaching out to the major players that, you know, allow for the infrastructure to be in place so that I's got dotted, T's got crossed. And he probably aligned with Mr. Dockery because, you know, I know I've known Uncle Charles to always be involved in, he worked within the school system, but he also did taxes on the side and was, you know, very, you know, astute in that area. And just, you know, just knowing some of the members of the club and their personalities, I can just assume that they all came together and said, yes, let's do this. You know, we're already, you know, in the top percent of many of the black people in our community that are movers and shakers. This is yet another feather in our cap and gives us an opportunity to show our kids, i.e. me, my brother and sister, and, you know, cousins and everything else, you know, what some of the next steps need to be as we move forward, you know, with our lives. And so all of this happened in each couple's living rooms, you know, over, you know, like at least once a month. And I'm sure, you know, like I said, just knowing, you know, the creativity in the room, girl, we need to just call this a living room investment club or whatever it is. And so there it is, and here we are. You know?
Yep.
Does that sound like some of the stories you've heard, Vincent?
Yes, and they, of course, rotated, you know, meeting at such and such house 1 month and then someone else is the next.
Yeah.
So do you have an exact year that the club was founded? I know, and the reason I'm asking, too, is because just in the not the most recent, but the second to most recent issue of the Better Investor magazine, we've been doing a dedication out to all of those investment clubs, Better Investing members, investment clubs that, you know, are meeting at 30, 35, 40, 45, all the way up to 60 or 65 years old. So do you have when the living room?
Well, yeah, the Living Room Investment Club, which was three different groups joining together, that was formed in 2004, but the other individual groups were going well before then, maybe in 1988, somewhere around there, but LRL started in 2004.
Okay. So that's a beautiful history to know that it was actually a social club that moved into becoming an investment club. Could you talk to us a little bit about how that transition started? I know you mentioned that one person was already a banker, and unfortunately, I guess Mr. Hamilton isn't on to kind of give a founder's perspective. But I'm more interested in learning about when you kind of came into NAIC, Better Investing, and what's made your interest in the organization stick and how you've been benefiting from the education of the organization.
Well, I can only speak from, you know, a little experience. I'm not sure, like we said, Tom is not here, but what kept everyone interested in continuing to come to the meeting was actually the return on their investment and seeing how their funds were growing, you know, month over month, and that's still going on today at this time. But and then you have your fellowship, which is always good, and you learn from the different folks. Some of the guys who may not have been as educated as Tom with the banking and investment, they may have specialized in something else, but they cross-exchanged ideas and learned from one another.
And if I can kind of chime in, Tom Hamilton is a force.
Yes.
He's a force in a very, very positive kind of way. He recognizes the fact that he is in a position that many people simply don't have access to, and is more, and even in that position, through his matriculation through the banking and finance marketplace and industry, but even socially, he's in the position to have access to movers and shakers and influencers and financiers and just thought leaders, and has been able to accept that role essentially bestowed upon him in a manner whereby he does everything he can to make sure that he's a conduit and a resource and a vessel for this kind of information to be, shared with all that will listen. He's more than available for whomever might have an interest. My perspective is probably, is a whole lot different than Vincent, simply because I grew up with these people. And, they were the people in the living room hanging out while me and their kids were doing what we were doing. So, it's more of a somebody in the family doing this thing here. And probably, as with all generations, the reason that I'm on this call today, having just come on board a week ago, is because, that's what they're doing over there. And we'll get to that. That's mom and dad and them. That's Uncle Charles and Aunt Jerry, But at the same time, between Christmas holidays and Thanksgivings and funerals and family reunions, I'd give Ms. Hamilton a call because life continued to happen, and I wasn't clueless. And obviously, I've run the financial group for 30-some-odd years, doing insurance, wealth building, and legacy planning, but not investing. And investing is a whole other kind of word I don't even say in my space, simply because if I do, that means I got to go for compliance and host of other things. I don't even use that word. But nevertheless, with Mr. Hamilton, as things came across my desk, I'd give him a call at any time of day, any time of night, as long as Mr. Hamilton would allow him to pick up the phone. He talked to me about everything. I'd call him about, I heard about this deal, and he would tell me about why that deal wasn't going to work. Well, because he sent deals in the past as a banker that came across his desk that they tried, and it didn't work for these reasons here. And what's happening now is this, and you need to consider doing this. And if you just put this here and just go, 5-minute conversation will literally turn into like 2 hours. And so I'm sure that the people that actually got involved with this organization and its founding, and were looking for leadership that they could count on and could trust when he had the floor for real. I'm sure the words that he spoke and the proof that he gave and the thought that he put into making the choices and the decisions and the conversation. I'm sure everybody was like, well, if Tom is doing it, in fact. I'd call home and talk to mom and dad about whatever. And dad would be like, well, Tom said, so you need to at least really consider that. And then Julia Singleton, who was a credible mover and shaker and contractor and a builder in Ohio and some other states, he took the helm as principal, and he is a force as well. So you've got just very strong, successful black men and their strong, successful black women, wives, and friends, and associates and whatever the case may be, all coming together, embracing an idea that has made sense for generations anyway. So fast forward to the time that it was time to make a decision as to what direction to go. Like I said, the trust was there, the track record was there, and it simply made sense, and they had the dollars to participate. And so I think that, through it all, those are the reasons why, they've reached the levels that they've reached, from the time of inception. And and really, you know, continued to push me and the legacy, if you will, to get involved, because, you know, everybody, you know, most of the founders are at least 80 now or 85, close to it, and it's a time, you know, to kind of pass the torch. And so, you know, again, that's why they got involved. That's how, you know, when it came time to align with the NAIC, you know, they went ahead and did that because they do believe in dotting I's and crossing T's and making sure everything is put together in the right way, so that there is no, what happened was, oops, I'm sorry. Well, you know, it's all that. There's no room for that.
Wish it could have, should have, would
have. Right, yeah. Wish it could have, should have, blue.
I'm glad you took it there, and I didn't know if you had something, Vincent, but I want to get into this next question, which is, and Eric, I want you to answer it first. What has caused you at this point in your life, and if you want to share your age, you're welcome to. If not, we all understand. But what has caused you to join this investment club at this point in time, especially like you said, you know, it was something you kind of grew up with. It was over there, you know, so you had proximity to it. But right now it's a conscious decision that you just made. And so I'm really interested in hearing why you've decided now. And then I would be interested in learning when Vincent joined, now that he's president, how long ago did he join and why did he decide at that point in time?
Okay. Well, quite honestly, I asked myself that same question, why now? And largely the reason is you get to a point where you're at the fifth or sixth crossroad that really makes a difference in your life. And you make some decisions as to if it is the right time, if not, why. The idea of singing the woulda, coulda, shoulda blues, you hear that choir warming up in the back of your head. And I say that as a singer-songwriter as well. So, you know, I know from which I speak because I've sung that song a couple times. Mom's not here anymore. And so going through old letters and cards from her, you know, the memories that, you know, kind of inspired those cards and letters, going through old voicemails that, you know, you didn't plan on going through them, but, you know, you pressed the wrong button. And, boy, what you doing? You know, seeing Facebook posts that my sister posted, you know, of Christmas where, you know, where she was healthy. And just all these things kind of, you know, come into play as to, you know, looking in the mirror saying, what were you doing? You know, 4 o'clock in 4 o'clock in the morning, you have to stop light. What are you doing? You know, so, you know, I've run VWS Financial Group for 30 some odd years now. And I established the Say Goodbye with a Smile campaign as an outreach for the financial group because it's something I'm able to kind of blend. Now, I wrote the jingle. We did the commercial last week. It'll be out in the next, maybe even Friday. And, you know, so there were a lot of things that I put in motion where I knew that at some point I just had to be the person that was accepting the torch from one of the members to move forward. Like I said, you know, the founding members are at least 80, and they're either some are tired, some aren't here anymore, some are here and can't participate, and just all the things that come with, you know, with aging.
With aging,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, with parents and friends of the family and what have you. And so it just got to a point where the chaplain said, oh, and by the way, the initiation fee, well, it's probably going up because we're doing real well. We're about a $1 million club now, and I don't know what you're doing down there in the lottery, but, you know, you can wait around if you want to. And, you know, Quan's in, and Hamilton, you know, he started naming the other kids that are in. Can them clowns get ahead of me? So
Did it work, Eric? Did it work?
And clearly it did, because I think, you know, there were, I think I was the last one to come in at the limit that was available, you know, for it. If it was like a 50 member limit or whatever. And I think that some folks got voted out, and I got voted in, and I sent my money in. And so, you know, here we are. And,
so you're here now. You're here now.
And that was kind of what inspired it. I know that was a long answer. I probably need to apologize for that, but, you know.
No, we appreciate it. We appreciate it because, again, you have a certain perspective of being close to it.
Yeah.
And we've had another guest on the show where a lot of times being close isn't good enough. Because just by being close, the person that is doing it assumes that the other person is picking it up.
Right.
But if there's no kind of conscientious involvement of that youth or that young person
right.
to really sit side by side and do it together,
right.
you'll always be on the periphery. And then in your later years, kind of wake up to that proverb, you know, talk about train up a child.
Right.
You ain't a child no more. But we're happy that you shared it because, again, you know, you can't take proximity for granted.
You know, if I could just chime in on that real quick, I just took on 3 interns from the New York City Public Schools as a virtual internship program. One is a 15-year-old African-American child who is, second-generation Haitian, and the other 2 are Latina girls, teens, 15, 16, and 17, 2 rising juniors and then the rising seniors. And so I brought them on board to do a lot in social media and digital marketing for obvious reasons. Well, of course, what I thought was obvious and hardly obvious. It's hardly obvious. And, you know, as I'm talking to other friends about how to make this happen with them, they're like, man, you getting ready to go viral in a bad way because they're going to be bored to death. They don't know what they do. I mean, just on and on and on and on. So, you know, I told them during the meeting, just listen, we're going to have to kind of revamp this whole thing because what I thought, but my point is this. During the first week, I sent them 50 questions to go research about insurance, wealth building, legacy planning, so that I could get them up to speed, you know, about what was going on. And one of them had never even heard of life insurance before. So when you talk about, you know, bring up a child in the way, this was my opportunity to, you know, pour into them something that could easily affect their community and their life in ways that, you know, who even knows. And and that was just, you know, with the insurance, wealth building, and legacy planning piece. And like I said, I don't speak to investing because that becomes a whole other thing for me. But nevertheless, you know, to your point, I mean, you're totally right. And what's amazing is that oftentimes, like when you kind of boil it down, it's 5 minutes, the length of a psalm. It's the ride to the – it's the walk from church to the car. You know, we kind of plant that seed, and, you know, if the kid or if the person, for that matter, is listening at all and it begins to resonate, you've opened up a whole new world to them. And so, you know, where I've seen that work so many times, and because I know that even if the seed doesn't – blossom, it still might take root. And when the time is right, it'll blossom. So, I oftentimes seek to do that because, you know, so many people miss, you know, those easy opportunities for whatever reason. And you just never know what'll happen, you know, years later. And so, yeah, I mean, that's You just done the writing, and that's why I do what I do.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. So, Vincent, when did you join the club? And if you would like to share, sure. What age did you join and what made you join at that point in time in your life?
Okay. My wife and I, we joined in 2016. So I think I was 54 then. And I was invited from one of the members, James and Viola Catlish. We happened to attend the same church.
I'm sorry, you say you were 34 then?
I wish. Then you would have saw some hair up here. But nope, I was 54, I'm 59 now. But yeah, James and Viola Catlish, we attend the same church in Cleveland, Holy Trinity Baptist Church. And Mr. Catlish is an entrepreneur, does housing work, all kinds of different things. And he worked on my house, and actually he was the principal to two of our sons. So he, said, "Hey, Vince, I'm a part of this investment club. You and Angela should check it out." So I told him to let me know when the next meeting would be, and he was giving us all the information on how well they're doing and the number of members. And on that Saturday, we attended the meeting, and they gave us information to take, and actually we wasn't, yes or no. We decided to share that information, the evaluation statement that shows the accounts and all the stocks that they're investing in. We share that with my wife's financial advisor. He looked it over, and his comments were, if you can afford the monthly fees, it looks like a good thing. So we had to attend three meetings before you can join, but that's how we got into this, which I am so happy that we did. And I think in 2018, I became the president of the club up until, currently I am the president. And I've learned a lot of folks have shared things with me, and it's just been great seeing the different backgrounds and what you can do if you just let your money invest and not that quick trading stuff where you got to get in and out real quick. But that's how we got involved in it.
Wow, I'm excited for what you just shared, because I have a few questions just off of that. Mm-hmm. The first one is, I think you're the first person I've ever spoke to that actually took the valuation statement of a club they were interested in, mm-hmm. took it to a financial advisor, and got, what we call in the healthcare world, a second opinion. I think that that's actually a very creative way to check and get qualified input on what you're about to get into. And the reason I say it like that is because, on hashtag My Investing Story, we're bringing on, long-term individual investors, but also investment clubs. And a lot of people have questions, but I don't think people feel empowered yet enough to either ask the question or have the initiative to surround. You don't have to take one person's word for it. You don't have to join something that you have reservations about.
Right.
You can actually do some active digging outside of Google, to kind of vet this opportunity. I had never heard that kind of vetting process, but I think that was a wonderful thing. And the other thing that really struck me was it didn't take you long to take action on it.
No,
was it because at that point in your life, the age you were at? I'm actually also interested to hear, what was your financial investing habits before you even joined the club? Because I also want to hear about how you were able to participate so much in the club to where you became president within 2 years.
Well, I'm in the banking industry, and we have our 401k, so that's pretty much all the investment I was doing through them, and they match you dollar for dollar up to 6%, so I was cool. But my wife and I, talked about it and thought about it, and, something we can pass on to our children, because when Mr. Catlish gave us that information, we knew we had somebody we could go to take a look at it, but we've been knowing him for a long period of time. Christian man, very honest. So it was something we thought we could do and, pass it on to our children. And now we can pass it on to our two grandsons. a matter of fact, we tried to get, we tried to get three of our children to join. Our one son, Christopher, he would attend the meetings, but him and his friend, they set up their own investment club, and they used, you know, coming into our meeting as a, you know, a learning curve on what to do, because we introduced them to my iClub before they were doing everything manually. So I got him hooked up with my iClub. That made it a lot easier for them. They're dispersed all over. And even, you know, right now we are pretty much at our capacity as far as members, but we're always open to have someone sit in and listen to our club and get ideas. And, you know, whenever someone does join, even for the first time or visit for the first time, we are open to them asking questions just like they were part of the club for 50 years. So, overall, this was just a great opportunity for something for our children. So we always felt if in the future they wanted to, they're older now, but say our grandkids, if they want to start their own business in the future, they can have some seed money to get it going, or if they want to put the money in the bank, so when they go to the bank to get a loan, they see, well, this person has equity already.
Has capital already, exactly.
Right, yes. Mm-hmm. So it gives them a great opportunity, and it opens up a lot of doors, like Eric had mentioned earlier. It opens up a world of new and different things.
Now, the club is originally physically based in Ohio?
Correct.
What city?
Cleveland, Ohio. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the
okay.
major city, but
some suburbs, too?
Yeah, wherever the
Cleveland
president
Heights,
is, Shaker Heights. Heights, yeah, right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cleveland Heights, Shaker Heights. Okay. And the reason I'm saying
there is a difference. You said Cleveland Heights. Right, there's a difference. I had to go.
Oh, I was listing the only two suburbs I do, Cleveland Heights and Shaker Heights. I wasn't combining them.
That's a different festival, admittedly. Go ahead.
The reason I put it out there is because, one, you know, we have a lot of first-time listeners who would like to visit an investment club, and since you already put that opportunity out. And so have you all been doing virtual meetings since 2020? Are you just now going back into in-person meetings?
Well, when the we were meeting monthly at a bank around the corner from the Ohio Savings, but once the pandemic hit us, we had to scramble, and we started doing conference calls, which led to video conference. And pretty much up until the third Saturday of this month, July, we were doing meetings online over the phone. But every July, we try to get together and meet in person. So July was the first time I think we've been together since maybe March of 2020. So we're not sure what the mask mandate, you know, starting to go back up, you know, wanted folks to wear a mask. We're not sure if we'll be able to get back into Ohio Savings where we were holding our monthly meetings. So if we can't, and folks, you know, we do have an older club, if they're uncomfortable getting together, we will stick with the video conference.
And currently you have how many members in the club?
I would say about 45 to 46 members, because one of the hard parts being the president and actually being in the club, which I'm not thrilled with, but we have to do it. The members are not paying their dues or participating over a certain length of time. We have to vote them out. So we were up to 50, but we just recently voted out four members. So and we have some members come in. So we are right at the edge of how many members we can have.
How long are your meetings, and what are those meeting dynamics? I mean, that's a lot of people. That's a small church.
The Ohio Savings, where we meet, they have a conference room in the basement that can hold about 50 people, but 50 people don't show up all the time. I think we average about 25 to 30 people.
And how many meetings can you miss before you're kicked out of the club, voted out of the club, I should say?
Well, the way we are running it, if you are not paying, because say, for example, if some folks are out of the state, they can only pay and then call in. So they're being there physically, that would be a challenge. However, if you missed, let's just say all of 2020, you're going to get voted out. We were trying to keep up with it, but once the pandemic hit us, we just put a little moratorium on voting folks out because we didn't want to make them struggle with trying, you know, if they couldn't work, trying to pay their electric bill, get food for the family, and we're up here harassing them to pay a little $75 for their monthly dues. So we put a stop to it, and we, you know, ended that in June where we sent out the letters to individuals asking for them to, if they wanted to continue to participate, to pay up for just 2021, so from January to June at the time, even though they may not have paid anything in 2020. So that's how we look at voting people out. Our meetings are scheduled for 2 hours. Sometimes when it comes to like voting people out, the last time we had that meeting, we went over 2 hours, which drives me crazy, but we needed to do it. But I personally would like to have it down to 90 minutes or so, because on a Saturday you have folks that you have to take care of, the parents, do shopping, errands, and that kind of stuff. So we want to, you know, stay as close to the schedule as possible so they can have their time back.
Go ahead.
So I was just saying, the meeting, you know, we start off like any meeting, I guess, read the previous month's meeting, find out if we have any visitors, and, you know, then we say hi and have them, you know, tell who they are and introduce themselves and let us know who invited them to the meeting. And if we have any folks to vote in, we'll make that decision there, you know, after you've attended your third meeting. We'll just take the vote on attending folks, and then we'll go we'll take a vote to have the folks join the club. And then we'll go into our old business, new business, stock recommendations and so forth, and call it quits.
Well, I mean, to have that many people in the club and still keep it to 2 hours, even when you do, I think that's a huge feat. And I won't compound my questions. I'll ask this next one first, which is going back to your history of working in banking so long. Can you speak a little bit to what you did not know once you joined the club and started? I'm assuming you all do SSGs before you,
right,
you know, do stock purchases. But talk to us a little bit about what you didn't know. I'm going to assume that you knew about financial statements. You worked at a bank. You knew about those things, the nuts and the bolts. But I'm more interested in, you know, what else you learned within the next 2 years of joining the club and participating, because I mean the club had to have some type of confidence in you to, after only 2 years, vote you as president.
Yeah, and I thought it was this pretty face, but I guess I was wrong.
It could have been that too.
But actually, I've been with the bank I'm working at. It'll be 38 years in August, and one thing I learned just at the bank, which shocked me, one of the guys I used to sit next to, he handled what we call our private banking, which are our affluent
individual clients. So what's your limit there at the bank? Is it $5
million? Oh, no. We have, it can go all the way up to $20 million, the high end.
Some have a minimum floor of you can't even be a client in private net worth. Do you know that number?
I would say it's probably $3 million.
Okay.
Yeah, but the one guy I was sitting next to, and he was talking to one of his clients, and I don't know why he had him on speakerphone, but, you know, they were talking about taxes. And one of the wealthy guys, he said, oh, no, I don't pay taxes. That surprised me because, you know, you hear it a lot now, a lot of your rich people, they don't pay taxes, which that surprised me a lot. But as far as with the investment club, I didn't know anything about using the SSG. You know, you have a front side, a back side, anything like that. Even though I was in banking, I wasn't in the investment portion. I'm in the sales piece where we sell to clients, you know, things like online banking, make a deposit through a lockbox. So a lot of the stuff I learned, like I said, the SSG, earnings, that's things that really affect the stock. That was all, you know, new to me and my wife, because growing up, we didn't know anything about investing, maybe like Eric's family did, unfortunately. My parents, they wasn't into that. So, you know, you saved on your own, but, you know, you grow and you learn from that. And so that's why my wife and I tried to share this kind of thing with our children about the investment club, and hopefully, you know, when they're ready, they'll get into it. They're grown, got their own things going on. But just learning from other people how they do things. Like Eric said, Mr. Hamilton is a wealth of knowledge. And right now, he comes to us letting us know what we need to do in the future to prevent our club from losing value. Even during the pandemic, we didn't drop anything. We're constantly growing and growing, and that's why a lot of folks are knocking on the door trying to join the club, because we're doing a lot better than your typical bank.
Right, and I'm just going to recap for people if they may have missed something. You know, you grew up learning how to save. You grew up knowing that it was important to get a good job and at least contribute to your 401k.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't join this investment club until you were 54. And so what you've been learning just in this time being a part of an investment club and being a member of Better Investing and using Better Investing tools and following the methodology, talk to us about how that's made you even a better investing in the rest of your life. Because I'm sure now that you have these tools, you're probably looking at your 401k differently. You know, you're probably looking at the portfolio that your wife had with the financial advisor differently. Talk to us a little bit about how this investment club experience is influencing the rest of your financial life.
Well, with the 401k, we have guys that, you know, they can manage it for. So I really don't have to do anything with that as long as I see it's constantly growing. I'm cool. But, you know, we have an option. We can do it ourselves or just let them handle it, which that's their job to do it. But as far as individually, you learn more just like with the guys that hear the money. I think it's game exchange, stock on short-term investing. You learn the pluses and minuses and the risk that you could lose money if it doesn't work the way you want. And just with some of the stuff that we invested in, recently I can't remember, it was Google something, I never heard of it. It's a part of Google that I don't think a lot of people know. I'm sorry, I can't remember it off the top of my head. But you just learn about the industries and overseas what they're doing and how what happens over there in their financial stock market can affect us over here. And in a way, also learn how to stay away from things that just not legit, because unfortunately in our community, a lot of times folks will just jump on whatever Ponzi scheme they hear and just, I think the craziest one I heard, I give $5, we'll say to Eric, then he gives it to Ann and such, and I recruit more people to give money to me. And, you know, and a lot of folks fall for it, which is sad, but we spend, unfortunately, a lot of our money on things that they're necessary, but you don't need the top of the line, like your iPhone. You have a lot of folks buying new iPhones and things like that, but they might not have insurance, but they have insurance on that phone, but they don't have insurance on their personal self. So there's a lot of things you need to learn, and we try and share that, you know, with like when I talk, well, they know it, when I talk to my children or even with some of their friends or just when I used to catch the rapid, I like to chat a lot, you know, just talk to the individuals on the train. We call it rapid here in Ohio, but in Cleveland. But it's
rapid transit. Yeah.
But, yeah, just sharing that information because you never know. You hear a lot of guys, they want to, you know, a lot of guys and girls, they want to do stuff, but unfortunately, they don't have the capital to get it going. 'Cause, you know, something that's probably really easy to get started. It's like a landscaping, but you need your tools. So we might think it's no big deal.
Capital or and knowledge sometimes.
Capital
and knowledge. So two other questions, more specifically about the club. What is the initial contribution amount to become a new member? What are your monthly dues? I heard you say 75, but if there's a range. And then there is someone in the audience that wants to know how many stocks or club holdings do you have, especially with having 46 members, I think.
Okay, the monthly fee is $75 per month. We just recently, I guess last month or the month before, we increased the initiation fee from $250 to $500. And the reason we did that, we wanted folks that were serious about coming into the club and participating. So $250, folks say, that's no big deal. They get a $250 and they are getting a good return on their money, but they're not participating at all in the club. So we, there was a discussion, I think $500, $750 or $1,000, which that would have been ridiculous, but $750 and $1,000. So we voted on $500, and so far it seems to work out. As far as the number of or different stocks that we have in the club, I'm just off the top of my head. I know we start with Apple at the top, but now that's probably our biggest contributor to our club. And just on the news today, I heard that they made profit on all their little products that they sell, the iPhones, the Macs, and all that good stuff. But I would say we have, just guessing, I'd say 60 to 80 different stocks. If I try to bring up my iClub, it's going to slow me down to freeze.
Right. And so do you all work in teams to track the stocks? How are you tracking the stocks so far? Because it's one thing to say it's a lot of holdings, but comparison to the amount of people you have in the club is not that many.
So one thing our club has, which I believe all clubs do or should, Morgan Stanley handles some of our investments for us. But then there's a lot that we do ourselves. So within the club, we have different committees, and one of them is the stock selection committee. So every, I think Wednesday or Thursday before the third Saturday of the month, the group gets together, and I try and join sometimes when I can. But they get together, and they'll come up and say, hey, we're thinking about, we'll just say Apple, Google, and Ford. And everybody on that call give their opinion on what they think we should do it or not, for, pluses or minus. And then once it's done, when they come to the meeting and it's their time to present, they will tell us, these are the three stocks we want to vote on, actually the club buying. And also they will recommend stocks that we should sell if they're not performing the way we want them. So then we'll vote on them, and if we the majority rules, that's what we will do.
That's beautiful that you all are meeting in between your monthly meetings to really do more of the stock discussion and the research.
Yeah, and Mr. Hamilton, he's not the chairman of that particular group, but he is a heavy voice in there because we're trying to keep the club going with incorporating younger members. So when we pass on, the club continue going legacy, as Eric had indicated. So though the younger guys, they may use a different thing, Google or what have you, but Tom is our driving force to keep us on point. And in some of our meetings, when we come up or saying something, he'll ask a question to get you really thinking, am I doing the right thing? So he's like our barometer.
It's always good to have that person that's willing to ask questions in the club. Miss Ann?
Oh, I was moving my glasses, not raising my hand to ask a question. I have a lot of notes here, and I just want to remind everybody that Eric shared earlier that he has been in the club, I think you said 2 weeks now, Eric?
At the very most. I think Uncle Charles probably got my membership and checking all of that maybe today, yesterday. But the post stamp was, I think.
Well, once we vote him in, he's in. Right, so it would have been that Saturday.
I say that because I only share. We have lots of people listening live and then streaming on Facebook, and we have lots of people in the chat. So we want to encourage all of you, please put your questions in the chat. And every week we ask everybody to do at least one thing for yourself in an investment education. We're not asking you to buy anything or, you know, sell stocks, anything like that. But when you think about the fact that Better Investing, which is a not-for-profit organization, and helping all of us with these tools to become better investors, if you will, I want to remind us, and I say this every week, about our annual meeting that's going to be held the end of, actually in October, the 21st through the 24th, and that's going to be in Dallas, Texas. And that's what we call BINC, is the Better Investing National Convention, BINC, and that's 2021. Okay. So if you're able to make an investment in yourself, I really cannot think of a better return on the investment than joining us in Dallas. Yes, live, face-to-face, bring your mask. But also on that Saturday, we're hosting a Financial Empowerment Day, and it's a free day. So we really want to encourage all of you listening, no matter when you're listening, you know, you can go to Eventbrite to get the details on the day for the investment day, Financial Empowerment Day, but you can also go to betterinvesting.org and get the information relating to the organization registration for that conference. If you may have just joined us, just want to remind you that this is hashtag My Investing Story. And we created this program, Ione and I, to really provide a platform for us to share individual stories, investment club stories, to help all of us understand that it's not as difficult as you may think. So tonight we've been talking with and listening to the Living Room Investment Club. And so, you know, they've been around now, gosh, I guess over 50 years the club has been around, right?
And so now
the club is taking in legacy family members and friends to keep, if you will, to keep that dream alive. And so what I'd like to ask both of you is if you have a favorite book you'd like to share that has been helpful in your investing journey. We also want to thank all of our listeners. Many of you come on every week. Ann Newman, I know I'm going to get in trouble when I start calling names. And Dan Harder did ask a question. He asked, Vincent, he wants to know if your bank is publicly traded, and if so, does your club own the stock?
Yes, I work for a Key Bank, and we just recently purchased Key Bank stock.
Wow. Good investment, right?
Yes, yeah. And, you know, when we were voting on that one, I didn't vote because I'm prejudiced for them because I've been there 38 years. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you for that. You know, we can't take any of this information for granted because oftentimes we hear about individuals investing everything in one company only to find out that it is not as, you know, I'm trying to be diplomatic here, but the tools are very valuable. Very, very valuable. I just want to go over a couple of points that I wrote, mm-hmm. and that one of them was the fact that this club originally started as a couples club. And even though I am a Delta, yes, I am a Delta, and I am very encouraged. I was sharing before the program started, Ione, I said, you know, we had the AKAs on, And for those of you that have no idea what we're talking about, these are black female, black sororities that we're talking about. And again, investment education, however we can get it, whether it's the AFAs, you know, any Greek organization, churches, not-for-profit organizations where we gather, even on our jobs, is a very good place to start investing. What I'd like to do is kind of go around and start wrapping up. So if we have any other questions from our participants in the audience, please share as we prepare to wrap up. I have learned a lot, and one of the things that jumped out at me listening to the two of you is the whole idea that many of our BEAC members, many of our NAIC members, many of our Better Investing members are aging, if you will, just like this club. And seldom do we have the conversation about legacy, what's next, and seldom do we actually put it in our bylaws. Because, again, I think that, Eric, as you get on board, Vincent can probably tell you it is unlike anything else you've done, even though you were on the peripheral as a child. And Ione, I'm not sure she was talking about herself and our relationship when she talked about the fact that it's very different when you're in the ring, if you will, versus being outside of the ring and being a spectator. But either way you look at it, I think that it's important that we share. And one of the things we talked about before the program started tonight is that, you know, in our community as African Americans, we are the answer to the question. Now, Mr. Johnson, Howard Johnson is on. I want to make sure, Mr. Johnson, you know that you do have one of these individuals is from the Atlanta area. So you may want to privately chat them and get that information so you can include them in your chapter activities. I've already spoken very highly of your chapter in that Atlanta area. So you may want to pick up a couple of very good volunteers, because you know we're always looking for volunteers, right, Ione? Oh, and always looking. So
right, as volunteers.
Yes, yes. So let's start with you, Vincent. Any wrap-up questions, comments before we close the show? I want to say thank you again for coming on and sharing tonight.
Thank you. I would just make sure to the folks that are interested in joining the club, check out the bylaws and make sure, even if you're in a club now and they don't have it, but what we call a transfer of death kit. So if I pass,
when you
my
pass.
Money, yeah, if. But so, you know, me and my wife, we pass, the money is going to our children, or we can update it to go to our grandchildren. And that way, the children, they won't be fighting in court that I should get it or this person should get it. So make sure you have that kind of stuff for the investment club in addition to a will.
Wow. Thank you so much. And what was that called again?
A transfer of death kit. I believe that's what we call ours, transfer of death. So
transfer of death kit.
Yeah.
Awesome. 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 Thank you so very much. Eric, any closing comments for our guests and our audience and listeners?
Sure. First of all, once again, thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this discussion, this whole podcast opportunity. I know that, you know, it's funny, as the new kid on the block, basically, I was hoping that they might be able to squeeze me in, because I know that there's so many other members that have, you know, that have been a part of it for such a long time. And because they met such an incredible benchmark, you know, $1 million. I mean, that's huge, and I know, well, I'd assume that many of them that were part of that would want to be a part of this discussion here, and again, just thanks for allowing me to be a part. And I guess in closing, as a shameless plug, if nothing else, you know, my whole campaign of Say Goodbye with a Smile speaks to the fact that at the end of the day, all of us have a legacy. And at this point, while alive, we have the ability to determine what it is. And if you want your legacy to be one whereby you've said goodbye and you're smiling because you've dotted the I's, you've crossed the T's, you've been able to set up, you know, all kinds of things that build character, that build unity within the family, that build income, build that builds wealth so that it can be passed on not only to your kids, but to your kids' kids, then you're able to, you know, pass on, go to the next life with a smile on your face. And those that you leave behind will be smiling as well, because, you know, we've all been to two kinds of funerals. The one where the folks are falling out, screaming, hollering, because not only have they lost their loved one, but they've lost their income and their life has come to a complete stop. And those that kind of just pass their eye because they've passed on, but now they are millionaires. They now own the building. They now have the ability to be able to participate economically, locally, nationally, and internationally. And it's because of clubs like this and the members that are active and get access to the different information of the things that are coming, you know, down the pike, that if they're in the right place at the right time, they can kind of, you know, expand the value of their portfolio and give access to that kind of information to those, again, within their families and communities and what have you, where they too can all just level up. And at the end of the day, that's what I think in the heart of everybody, at the end of the day, that's what everybody wants, you know, to be able to do that. And, you know, to be a vessel, to be a conduit, to be a point of light in an area where, you know, many are just are clueless and have no idea, and a great resource for confirmation of doing the right thing for those that are, that they're in the ring, if you will, but just don't know, do you need to duck here, do you need to swing here, whatever the case may be. And organizations like this and leadership like Vincent is offering the club, and his willingness to be available and take the lead from somebody that has the wealth of experience that a Tom Hamilton has, or Julius Singleton, or Charles Dockery, I think is what, you know, will allow for the club to continue to grow and to get the great rewards that it's been getting. And getting on calls like this, that same kind of information, the same kind of spirit, that same kind of willingness will help to hopefully inspire everybody that's on this call to do the same thing in their community. And I guess, you know, I'll close with that. A big old smile, so you can smile too.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Ione.
We want
to just thank everybody that's listening in live and also in the future, and just remind all of you that you've been listening to hashtag My Investing Story. And Ione McNeil and myself are volunteers with Better Investing. We'll encourage you to go to betterinvesting.org and to get more information about how you can become a better investor. Right now, Better Investing has a 90-day free membership. It's right on the front page of the website at the very bottom. And we also want to encourage you, also on that front page at the bottom, to join us in October in Dallas from the 24th, 25th, for the BINC conference. That's the Better Investing National Convention that's going to be held in Dallas. And so we've been talking tonight to Eric Smith and Vincent Smith, not related, but they are in the Living Room Investment Club, and it's one of the oldest African-American clubs in existence and still going on. So equally as important, they're building legacy. So with those thoughts and comments, we want to thank you for joining us, and we will see you all back here next week, same time, same place, at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And I'll just say good evening. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
All the best. Say goodbye with a smile.
Yes, say goodbye with a smile. My smile to all of you, if you can see it. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Peace.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.